Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello and welcome to Trash Talk with TK. I'm your host, TK Tom Kelly, with you the day after a dramatic, anxiety-inducing Eagles playoff victory as they defeat the Los Angeles Rams 28-22 in the divisional round. They're on to the NFC Championship game next week. They'll be hosting the NFC Championship game against the Commanders next Sunday afternoon. And what can you say about that game yesterday? And we will look at it from a bunch of different angles here on the Day After Reaction podcast today. But an unbelievable game. I think immediately a classic. Like one of the most memorable Eagles games that we've ever seen for a number of reasons. Obviously, the emotional swings, the ups and downs. I mean, I work at the station during the game, do the halftime show, do the recap. Get home last night, watch the end of Bills-Ravens, and then immediately, I had to watch that entire game again to relive it. And it was ridiculous. That fourth quarter will take years off your life. Just insane, the swings of emotion. And there's a lot of stuff on both sides to get to here, on both sides of the ball. But where I got to start, and my biggest takeaway after watching that game yesterday, is thank God for Jalen Carter. Because Jalen Carter saved the Eagles season yesterday. I mean, I think we all felt the same way. And it's okay to say it. Is that we all felt like the Eagles were losing that game. You know, you can't help but have those feelings run through your mind. And because we all felt the same thing. Saquon takes in that 78-yard touchdown run. Puts the Eagles up 28-15 with under 5 minutes to go. I'm celebrating with guys at the station. It felt like the game was over. We're already talking about next week. We all thought the game was over. Then Jake Elliott misses the extra point. The Rams go down the field way too quickly, way too easily. They score that touchdown to make it 28-22. And it's like, all right, okay, this game's not over. And at that point, you're nervous. But the optimist in me and the realist in me said, okay, well, you get a couple first downs, you win this football game. The Eagles only take 13 seconds off the clock. They have to punt it back to the Rams. And then when Stafford completes that 37-yarder to Puka Nacua, where Slay mistimes the jump, Nacua makes a great catch, keeps the feet in bounds, we all had the same feeling at that point. And it was like, and I'm just thinking, oh my God, like this is going to be one of the worst losses in Eagles history. Like this is going to be a game that is going to haunt us forever. This will go in the bucket with the NFC Championship game against Tampa, the championship game against the Cardinals. Like this is going to be that bad of a loss. They have a 13-point lead with under 5 minutes to go at home. We all felt it. And then on third and two, like, and I'm sitting in the studio where I'm watching the game by myself in the station. And I'm like, please, somebody, just make a play. Like, we just need one guy to step up, one guy to make a play. And Jalen Carter makes the play to save the Eagles season. Beats the center, an unbelievable swing move. And Matt Stafford has nowhere to go. I mean, Stafford has no time to even react. Jalen Carter plants him. And with the 4th-and-11 coming up, I honestly, and I'm glad Nick Sirianni did not do this. Like, Nick Sirianni made the right judgment call here. I was immediately screaming for the Eagles to call a timeout. Because I'm still thinking, okay, if the Rams score a touchdown and they go on top by 1 point, you need to leave time. You need to leave as much time as possible to get down the field and go back in front and hopefully win this football game. But the calculation Sirianni made was correct. Is you don't want to, I think, give Sean McVay that timeout where you allow him extra time to come up with the right play call. Because the Rams did look a little discombobulated after that sack. A third and two becomes a fourth and 11. And hey, it was the right move by Nick Sirianni. You don't want to give them extra time to come up with the right call for fourth and 11. They didn't have a timeout. So the Rams had to, you know, just call play and get out there and run it. And what happens on the fourth and 11 play? Jalen Carter, again, right up the middle, right in Stafford's face, forces a quick throw over the head, trying to get it to Nacua on the outside. I know McVay wanted a flag. That would not have been a that was not pass interference. That was a good no call by the official, and the Eagles win. And it comes down to, with this team, what has driven them all year, and sometimes it's simple, man, is sometimes it's not as much about scheme. It's not as much about coaching. It's just, in those moments, the best players need to make the plays that are going to win you a game. And that's what happened. I mean, Jalen Carter decided on those final two plays of the football game that mattered before the kneel down that he was going to win that game for the Eagles. And just an incredible effort. And for that guy who never comes off the field, never misses a snap, gets double teamed constantly. I mean, you look at the numbers. Jalen Carter gets double teamed pretty much all the time. And if you don't double team him, that's going to happen. Like, teams double team him by necessity. For him to still have the gas in the tank at the end of that game to make that play is unreal. And it's a credit to him, because you look at Jalen Carter last season, the second half of the year, I think he did run out of gas a little bit. I mean, you look at his production last season. I mean, it's huge at the beginning of the year. Tailed off as the season went on. And for him now to have worked and conditioned himself in the offseason, to be a defensive tackle who plays basically every play, which is unheard of. Like, that does not happen. These guys all across the league cycle in and out of the game. Jalen Carter basically never comes out. And for him to make those plays was incredible. And it turns out, like, it could turn into being one of the best draft picks in Eagles history. Probably already is one of the best draft picks in Eagles history. The fact the Eagles got him with the ninth pick of the draft. And I am somebody who, I was always a big fan of Fletcher Cox. I thought Fletcher Cox was a guy who was, well, even though we recognize he was a good player, I think he was a guy who was largely underrated in this town. Like, for his consistency, to always be on the field. You know, he never really got hurt. If he did get injured, he played through it and always had an impact. Jalen Carter's already better than Fletcher Cox was at his best. And that is astonishing. Like, this is the next coming of Aaron Donald. You very rarely see an interior defensive lineman be able to take over games the way Jalen Carter takes over games. And you saw him do it, I mean, week three against the Saints. That was a game where Jalen Carter just took over. The first Washington game, where you remember there's a fourth and two that Jalen Carter just totally blew up. And he is the reason why the Eagles are still playing next week. He saved them. It didn't feel like they were getting a lot of pass rush at the end of that game. Stafford really got into a rhythm in those final couple drives. And Jalen Carter saved the season. And that's my biggest takeaway to start here, is thank God for those plays that Carter was able to make. And as far as the Rams go, I mean, that offense was able to get after the Eagles late in this game. And when the snow was really bad, defense forced turnovers. This has become a very opportunistic defense. And thankfully, they were able to get those turnovers. The Eagles needed them to turn them into some points here. And hey, I was wrong coming into this game. I thought this was going to be kind of easy money for the Rams. I predicted, or for the Eagles, I predicted 24-16, but I didn't think the game would really be all that close. Thought at this point Matt Stafford was kind of done. I thought Stafford played pretty well yesterday. I'm not going to lie to you. And, I mean, Sean McVay is one of the best coaches in football. I mean, there's no question about that. He schemed some good stuff up for the Rams, and that offense was terrifying at the end of the game. And, again, if Jalen Carter does not step up and make those plays, the season is over right now. We are talking about, you know, one of the most horrific, devastating losses in Philadelphia Eagles history. So first off, just amazing credit to Jalen Carter. And, you know, I think the defense as a whole played pretty well. I think those last couple drives, and this is frustrating that this happens at the end of games, because defenses get a little more conservative, change the way they play. But most of the game they played well. They just, the Rams, and Collinsworth mentioned it during the broadcast, I think he was right, the Rams hurry up really gave them problems. And if the Rams are able to get to that earlier, and part of it is Eagles defense not allowing them to get to that. Like, when you're going three and out and you're not able to move the chains consistently, it's hard to get into that up-tempo rhythm. But when the Rams were able to do that, it really did give the Eagles problems. And if they got to that earlier, you do wonder about what kind of success the Rams could have had offensively and how this game could have been different. But tremendous job by Jalen Carter. The Eagles end up winning the game on defense. They hold on that final drive and get through it. And again, just incredible job. Now you look at the other side of the ball offensively. A lot of kind of what we've seen from this team offensively throughout the course of the year. And first off, of course, Saquon Barkley continues to be maybe the best free agent signing, not just in Eagles history, but in this city's history. I tweeted out yesterday that he surpassed Bryce Harper on the free agent signing list. Now, after further consideration, I think it's close. But when you look at just a one-year impact, Saquon Barkley has carried this team. Like, Saquon Barkley has done more than you could have ever imagined. And this is the thing. Like, I looked at this game, and I thought, okay, Saquon is going to be too much for the Rams. My biggest reason for confidence coming into this game is I thought this Eagles offensive line is going to bully a kind of smaller Rams front. And Saquon would reap the advantages of that and would, you know, run for a ton of yards, and the Eagles would be able to move the ball effectively in the run game all day. Now, it happened differently than I thought it would. Like, I thought you just look at Saquon, he'd just be breaking off 7, 8, 10-yard chunks all day long. That didn't happen. This is the thing. Saquon ends up running in this game for, what, 196 yards, I believe is the final number? And I look at that number at the end, and I actually think the Rams...
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters. Love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
As a whole, did better against the run than I expected them to. Because honestly, like a lot of the carries that Saquon had weren't chunk runs. Like, he was only getting 2 yards. He was getting stopped near the line of scrimmage. But this is the thing that makes him so special and what separates him from pretty much every other running back in the league. Like, if you want to throw Derrick Henry in there, you can. But what separates Saquon is the ability to break the big one, because he has 26 carries and the Rams can hold him down for 24 of those carries. But if he's going to get the two that are going to break your back, like he did yesterday, 62-yard touchdown run the first quarter, 78-yard touchdown run in the fourth quarter, that's the game right there. And again, I thought as a whole, for the majority of the game, the Rams actually did a decent job. Like, they did hold up front against this offensive line for the most part. You take away those two runs, the number, I mean, you're talking about what? Like, 60, 70 yards on 24 carries? Like, the Rams absolutely would have taken that. But when you allow the big ones, and there were 3 big runs yesterday for the Eagles, those 2 by Saquon and the 44-yarder by Jalen Hurts, that changes the game. And that is why this run game is so dominant. And the offensive line, unbelievable, the way they're able to change games with these big runs. And another outstanding day for Saquon Barkley yesterday. That was huge. Now, as far as the rest of the offense and some of the negative stuff, the passing game, not great again. And hey, I've gotten to a point, and if you listen to this podcast, I'm sure you've heard me talk a number of times about Jalen Hurts. I've made myself clear. I'm disappointed in the passing game. And I think the passing game should be better. We can go through the different reasons why that should be, whether it's Jalen, whether it's Kellen Moore and the play calling, whatever. But I've kind of come to terms with what this passing game is, and the reality is it's just not, it's not going to be very good. Like, it's not. Regardless of why that is, it's not a very good passing game. And again, yesterday you look at what happened. Not all on Jalen Hurts. I mean, he took some sacks, took 7 sacks yesterday. I think those sacks were a combination of him holding the ball too long and protection breakdowns. I didn't think the protection on all those sacks was great, to be honest with you. I mean, some of that does come down on the offensive line. Some of that does come down on Jalen for not getting the ball out quick. I thought on the safety, like, you got to get the ball out. I mean, he had a little bit of time, could have dumped it down to Dallas Goedert. And it's more situational stuff, like when you're taking the sacks. And that's the thing that bothers me the most in regards to Jalen is, you know, when you're taking the sacks. Because took 2 sacks that took you out of field goal range, another in the end zone. I mean, those are huge point swings there. And again, it's not that they're all on him, but when you're in those situations, you've got to go into that play knowing, like, okay, I can't take a sack here. And if you do see pressure coming, instead of trying to avoid it and making a big play, you got to throw the ball away. And again, I get that it's a balancing act. Because a lot of times, Jalen will extend plays and make a big play out of it. And you don't want to take that ability away. But I do think situationally, you got to be smarter about when you're trying to make those things happen. And when you're just living to see another down and fight another day. And that was the thing with me that frustrated me most about Jalen in terms of the sacks yesterday. Is not that they were all his fault. Not that he was holding the ball forever on all of them. And he was solely to blame. But more about the situations you're taking them. And you got to go into these plays knowing, okay, a sack is basically as bad as a turnover here. Like, a sack is taking points off the board. And again, Jalen gets credit. No turnovers. That's huge. Again, no turnovers, some dicey plays, but was able to protect the ball. But in those situations, like, we can point to the no turnovers and say, yeah, well, look, he's not turning the ball over. That's great. It is. But sometimes those sacks kind of equal turnover a little bit. And again, you just got to know situationally when to get the ball out. And I know, you know, Jake Elliott may not have made the kicks, but you got to give him a chance. Like, you got to keep yourself in position when you're in field goal range. Took 2 sacks at the end of the first half, take you out of field goal range. Took another sack in the end zone that resulted in points for the Rams. Like, those are the kind of things that can't happen. Now, that being said, the offensive struggles yesterday and the passing game struggles, not all Jalen's fault. I mean, you look at the deep pass to A.J. Brown, that's a great throw. Like, that's a back shoulder throw. That's exactly what I and others have wanted Jalen to do. Like, when you see A.J. Brown on the outside of man coverage, throw it up to him, let him make a play. And, I mean, hey, A.J. didn't bring that one in. And A.J. Brown had a bad game yesterday. I mean, let's call it what it is. A.J. Brown did not play well. He dropped that pass, could have been a touchdown. Dropped one early in the game as well over the middle. And, you know, I've gotten to the point where I've kind of reached the point of acceptance with this passing game. Like, because week after week, I have been pleading with this passing game to get better. It hasn't gotten better. Now, as far as Kellen Moore goes, I thought Kellen Moore called a good game yesterday. I know there was a lot of heat coming down on Kellen Moore. I did not like the 2nd and 7 call on the final drive, the bootleg. Agree with the criticism there. You probably just hammer Saquon there. If you do want to run a pass play, it's got to be something where you're getting the ball out pit quick, where there's not that kind of potential of a negative play. Because 2nd and 7, you take a 12-yard sack, puts you in 3rd and 19. You have no chance to pick that up on 3rd down because you're absolutely running Saquon there. You don't want a negative play, and you want the Rams to use that final timeout. So that was a bad call. Aside from that, I thought Kellen Moore schemed some good stuff up. I thought, you know, they had the big completion to Goddard. Obviously, the run game, some of those plays were beautifully designed. You had the screenplay that would have brought you inside the 5, a bad ineligible man down the field penalty. And then the false start on Lane Johnson killed you as well on the tush push. But here's where I am with the passing game. Because, again, I've reached the point where I'm willing to accept, like, it's just not going to get a lot better. Like, there's two games left. We've been waiting for it all year. It's just not going to happen. But what cannot happen, and what the Eagles do need to clean up, is the negative plays. And again, that comes back to the sacks. Is if you're not going to make the big pass plays down the field, and you're not going to be consistent in the pass game, you at least can't have it hurt you. And that's where it is incumbent on the offensive line and incumbent on Jalen. And again, this isn't a hammer Jalen Hurts session here, but he's got to be smarter about when to hold the football and try to make a play and when to get the ball out. And I did think his situational awareness yesterday in those spots was pretty bad. I mean, let's be honest. There are situations where he takes sacks, third and long, you're in your own territory, whatever. Like, you're trying to make a play, but when you're in field goal range and when you're in your own end zone, you're a fifth-year quarterback. You're not a young player. You got to know better. You got to know better than to do that. But the Eagles won. Jalen didn't turn it over. And hey, we can have the same conversation all week this week. And now a big matchup with the Commanders. And just some early thoughts before we wrap up here. I'd say cautiously optimistic about this game. I'm not going to lie, I'm nervous about Jaden Daniels. I mean, Jaden Daniels just seems to be on a heater right now. And you saw he was outstanding in that game in Detroit on Saturday night. That being said, the Eagles did a really good job on him in the first game in Philadelphia. The second game in Washington, yes, Jaden Daniels took him down at the end of the game, but the Eagles had gotten a stop before that. The Eagles turned the Commanders over a lot of times in that game. I think they had 5 turnovers in that game. And hey, I mean, we look at that final drive, but if Devontae Smith catches that pass from Kenny Pickett on third down, that final drive doesn't happen. And the Eagles win that football game. So I'm confident in that defense. I think it's going to be obviously important to get Quinyon Mitchell back. Now, optimistic reports after the game that he thinks he'll be ready to go this week. Hopefully he is, because he did a great job on Terry McLaurin earlier on this year. And that's the guy you gotta really keep in check, is Terry McLaurin. Austin Eckler out of the backfield worries me a little bit. Now, I thought Oren Burks played a really good game yesterday in place of N'Kobe Dean, which makes you feel good moving forward, is that middle linebacker spot does not seem like it's going to be a disaster or anything. But those are two guys I'm watching. And then, I mean, hey, Jaden Daniels has really kind of developed a nice chemistry with Zach Ertz. I mean, that's his go-to guy. We know Zach Ertz is tough in these big games and these big moments. And he doesn't have that athleticism that he used to have. Was never an ultra-athletic guy. But he's a smart football player. He knows where to be. Him and Daniels are on the same page. So Zach's another guy who the Eagles are going to need to key on and try to make sure that he doesn't make those tough catches, especially on third down, those third and intermediate situations. That's usually the guy Daniels is going to look for. And again, I think defensively, when you're facing a guy like Jaden Daniels, who's ultra athletic, you got to keep him in the pocket. You cannot allow Jaden Daniels to get out of the pocket, make those off-schedule plays, whether it's a run or extending the play and getting the ball down the field. That's going to be the challenge for this Eagles defense, and it is going to be a challenge. And, you know, offensively, the Eagles should be able to have success. I mean, they struggled in the first half of the first game. Saquon really got going in the second half en route to that 26-18 victory. The second game against Washington, again, I thought Kenny Pickett played pretty well in that game in relief of Jalen Hurts. The Eagles offense was not the problem in that game. Pickett had a bad interception, a big turnover. But aside from that, even with Kenny Pickett in there, the offense was able to move the ball very well. So I feel pretty good. We'll hash it out this week on WIP. A lot of me this week on WIP. I'll be on Tuesday through Friday night. So every single night as we lead up to the NFC Championship game, 7 to 10 Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 6 to 10 on Friday. So excited to talk to you. But a great game yesterday. Unbelievable Eagles win. And we'll talk about it this week on WIP. Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of Trash Talk with TK. And I'll talk to you tomorrow night on WIP.
When the stakes rise and the lights get bright, that's when you find out who can really swim. Deep Waters is a new UFC podcast from CBS Sports. Every Monday, myself, Dean Thomas, alongside with legends of the sport, Chris Weidman, Jorge Masvidal, and Dustin Poirier, bring you inside the octagon like no one else can. Deep Waters, new episodes every Monday. Watch on YouTube or listen on Apple, Spotify, and everywhere else you get podcasts.